Let us turn to that psalm that we read, Psalm 31. We'll look at our text, our brief text, but we'll first of all pray and ask the Lord's help in the understanding of his holy word. Let us pray. Our Father, we do bow in thy presence. We thank thee for the inspired book. We thank thee for the prophets of old who wrote for us with the pen of inspiration as they were moved by the Holy Spirit, the very words of God to our soul. And so we pray for the same author, the Holy Spirit, to be our guide and to write the word upon our heart, upon our soul. So we pray, Lord, speak to us, challenge us, bless thy people, lift them up, and awaken the sinner, and open the eyes of the blind, and make people see. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I draw your attention this morning to the verse 15 in Psalm 31, and the first words of the verse, "My times are in thy hand." In thy hand, my times. In thy hand, my times. My subject this morning is, our times in God's hand. And so I want to consider this subject. I want to divide the text into three thoughts. First of all, we want to look at the controller of that hand, thy hand. And then secondly, we want to look at the contents in that hand, my times. And then thirdly, we want to look and to consider the comfort from that hand, to consider why the psalmist says this and why he is comforted by this truth that his times are in the Lord's hand. First of all, the controller of the hand, thy hand. The hand is the Lord's. You will notice that the psalmist is a prayer to God in verse 1. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. And then we see the very context of our text. Verse 14, I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my God, my times are in thy hand, God's hand. So God has a hand. Yes, God has a hand. How are we to think about that? How are we to think about the divine hand? How are we to picture that in our mind? Well, let me say unto you, we are not to picture anything material. We're not to picture five fingers. We're not to create any image, a material image in our mind concerning the hand of God. There's nothing material about the hand of God because God is a pure spirit. And he has no bodily parts as far as his divine essence is concerned. How then are we to think about the hand? Well, in the scriptures, the hand tells us about the control, about the power, about the sovereignty and dominion. You see, with our own hand, we accomplish our purposes. We want to go through a door, so our hand opens the door and we go through the door. We change things with our hand. We do things with our hand. We control things with our hand. We protect things with our hand. And so to ascribe unto God a hand is just to say, he controls. He has power. He works things after his own purpose and plan. His hand. So it makes us think of the sovereignty of God. He is not a powerless, handicapped God without a hand. All things are controlled by his hand. The Hebrew language is very pictorial. The Hebrew word for hand is made up of two letters. The first letter is shaped like a hand and is named hand. And the second letter pictures a door and is named door. And so that's the word for hand in the Bible. It opens the door. It controls the door. It shuts the door. It does everything. If it shuts the door, no other hand opens it. But that hand, that's God's hand. Sovereign hand. An all-controlling hand. A mighty hand. And that's the word for hand in the Bible. Nothing is done without the hand of the Lord. So then the Holy Spirit, through David, really wants us to think about God's control. God's dominion. God's sovereignty. God's sovereignty. So he opens and no man shuts. He shuts and no man opens. Who's in control of David's life? You notice there's another hand in the text in verse 15. My times are in thy hand. But then David says, deliver me from the hand of mine enemies. There is one God and one hand, but there are many enemies with their united hand wanting to control David, wanting to overpower David, wanting to have dominion over David. But David says, I'm not in their hand. I'm in thy hand, O God. I'm under your control. I'm in your sovereign plan. I'm under your dominion. There's the persecuting hand of men. You see, man wants to control. And he uses his hand to do so. But David is surrounded not only by men with a hand. He's surrounded by God who has a hand. And in that hand are his times. His times. To him, there is only one hand that matters. God's hand. The word hand occurs in two other places in this psalm. We have it there in verse 5. Again, it is a divine hand. Into thine hand I commit my spirit. That divine hand is a Redeemer's hand. That divine hand is the hand of the Lord God of truth. Into thine hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. He has confidence in that hand. And he commits the most precious part of his humanity into that hand, even his spirit. And then again in verse 8 we have another hand. And has not shut me up into the hand of the enemy. Here's the enemy again. Here's their hand wanting to control David, wanting to shut David up. But you'll notice, thou hast set my feet in a large place. It's as if they want to shut me up. The enemy's hand wants to control me. But Lord, your hand has come along and just lifted me up and put my feet in a very spacious place. So then we see that the hand of God is greater than the hand of men. It is the Lord's hand. And that is always sovereign in the Scriptures. We read so often about it. In Psalm 118, for example, in verses 15 and 16, we are told this about the hand of the Lord, that the right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. These three references to the sovereign power of God. That hand is over all. Proverbs 21. And verse 1, Proverbs 21 and verse 1 tells us, even the king's heart. Now, if there's anyone who's in control, if there's anyone who would have dominion on the earth, we would think it would be a king. A king thinks his hand controls everything. But the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord as the rivers of water. He turneth it. He turneth it, that hand of the Lord. He turneth even the king's heart wherever he likes. So there's only one hand, if you like, in the universe. The hand of an omnipotent God. The God that David prays to. The God that is his Redeemer in Jesus Christ. God over all, blessed forever. Thy hand. But then I secondly draw your attention to the contents of that hand. Because the psalmist so confidently says, in thy hand, my times are in thy hand. Now, of course, the Bible assures us that everything's in the hand of God. Everything. The king's heart, as we see. The righteous are in his hand, the Bible tells us. The wise, with all their works, are in his hand. His sheep. You remember how Jesus said, I give unto my sheep eternal life. They shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. His sheep are in his hand. We are the sheep of his fold, and we're in his hand. The deep places of the earth, the Bible tells us, where no hand has gone and where no human eye has seen, the vast caverns under the ground and the deep depths of the ocean, whatever goes on in there, beyond the control of man, whatever goes on in there, it's all in his hand. It's all in his hand. Even what goes on in there, all in his hand. But David is very specific, isn't he? And he's far more personal. And David meditates upon himself and himself in relation to his God. And he says, my times. He's getting personal. And you, child of God, should be personal when you use the word of God. You should apply it to yourself. My times. Yes, your times. My times. What does David mean by his times? Well, he means by this the various changes in his life. You see, we are creatures of time, aren't we? And time changes, and things that take place in our life changes, and we change, and different events come across our path. We call them different times. Because we're creatures and we have different times, ups and downs, so on and so forth. Jehovah no change knows. The Lord doesn't change. He's not a creature. He's not confined to time. He's beyond time. He's eternal. He knows no change. God cannot say my times, but we creatures can say my times. And so our times change in that hand. That hand doesn't change. No, God's hand doesn't change. But what takes place in time in his hand is always changing. But it's all in his control. Whatever happens in that hand, whatever changes, whatever ups and downs, whatever storms and turmoils, all in his hand, the unchanging hand, with the changing times of us creatures. Well, we sometimes translate the word, and it is so in the Old Testament scriptures, seasons. The different seasons of life. The turning points. The critical periods that we come across. The good seasons. The bad seasons. And I want you to consider this also. It is not sometimes. David does not say, some of my times are in thy hand. No, he says, my times, them all, every one of them, every time I have, every change I go through, every season I experience, my times, and the implication is they are all without exception, in his hand, in his control. A good commentary on this text is found in Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and the verses 1 through to 8. Perhaps you could turn to that. Ecclesiastes 3 verses 1 through to 8. To everything there is a season and a time. To every purpose under the heaven. time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill, and a time to heal, a time to break down, and a time to build up, a time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace, and a time to refrain from that embracing, a time to get and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to rend and a time to sow, a time to keep silence, and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war, and at the end of it all, the shalom, the everlasting rest that comes to the people of God at the end. The last time of all is a time of peace, when we shall forever be with the Lord. All of these times, David says, I face them, I meet them, I come across them, and every one of them are in the controlling hand of God. My times are in thy hand. All of these times then are controlled by God. It must be so. Who else controls them? Is it left to fate? I think not. We're not atheists. Is it left to chance? No. Who decides these times? Who fixes these times? Who appoints them? It is not the haphazard happenings of a random sea of life. But it is one hand controlling all. David's theology is not a theology of chance. David's theology is a theology of absolute sovereignty, complete dominion of the great God of heaven. And what are some of our times then in God's hand, if I could be more specific? Well, the time you were born, that was in God's hand. The commencement of your life, a time to be born. Doesn't that where the wise man Solomon begins? The time to be born, your birthday, is God's appointment. Your duration, how long your time shall be on this earth. Your bounds are set, you know, by the same hand. It's all in God's hand. David's not looking at his enemies and saying, oh, they're going to end my life. It could end any time. It's all in their hand. No, David says, thy hand is in thy hand, Lord. I'll not live beyond your appointment, and I'll not die short of it either. Thy hand. It's all there, the duration, and thus the time of his departure. Oh, think of that. Do you remember the Apostle Paul thought about it as he lay in prison, soon to appear before Caesar? The time of my departure is at hand. Yes, it is at hand. And it's in that divine hand as well. Oh, don't worry about your death day. Who's going to fix it for you? Who's going to appoint it for you? Don't worry about it. Wouldn't you want God to appoint your death day? You wouldn't want anyone else to fix it, would you? I'm glad he has appointed my death day. It shall come soon enough. And when it does, it'll be in his hand. It'll be in his plan. My times, my birth time, my duration time, my death time, and all the other times in between. Sad times, hard times, bad times, separating times, good times, lonely times, happy times, dangerous times, sick times, painful times, troublesome times, refreshing times, reviving times. All of them. My times, thy hand. But there's one special time in that hand. It is the time of salvation. the time of salvation. The time, yes, the time when a man has an encounter with the Redeemer. Yes, even that is in God's hand. Even sovereignty extends to the very matter of salvation. Even that is in His hand, not in the hand of men. And so He saveth as He pleases. He has mercy on whom He will have mercy. And whom He will harden, He hardens. Because it's in His hand. It's in His hand. There's a set time, a time to favor Zion. Who determines if a man is saved or not? David is a saved man. Why is he a saved man? Because one of his times in God's hand was a time of awakening, a time of illumination, a time of conversion, a time of visitation, and a time of salvation. Like Paul the Apostle on the Damascus Road, a time of encounter with Jesus Christ. He had such a time in his life, and so David. And this is why. It's in his hand. In his hand. And that was the same with us all that are Christians. Salvation is not of men. It is of the Lord. And that should fill us with praise. That God in His grace had for you and me a time of salvation. My times are in thy hand. Of course, it should not make you sinners careless. It should not cause you to sit back and say, oh, well, if I'm going to be saved, I'll be saved. That's not the way to speak. That's carelessness. Don't tempt God. But arise. Call upon the Lord. Say, have mercy. Oh, say, may it please thee, Lord, in thy matchless grace, to give me in thy hand a time of salvation. That's how to pray, and not to be careless. And so the contents of that hand. But then lastly, I consider with you the comfort of that hand. The comfort of that hand. Why is David saying this? He's comforting his soul, isn't he? He's encouraging himself. He's surrounded by so many enemies, so many pitfalls that he could fall into, so many dangers, and he's comforting himself. This is not speculative theology. This is practical. Practical when you're in danger. Practical when you're in trouble. Practical when you're sick. Practical when you have cancer. Practical when you're knocked down by a car and put in the hospital. This is practical theology. My times. My times in thy hand. It's practical theology and not speculative. It's very comforting. And it is to David. It's a warm, comforting truth. It's a wonderful, delightful truth. He does not say this with a spirit of depression. He does not say this with a spirit of sadness. He says it with a spirit of gladness. Yes, it's a sad time all about me, but I'm glad my times are in God's hand. He says it with gladness. The words are not found in the text. My times are in thy hand, and I am glad. That's not found in the text, but the implication is there. He says it with delight. And so we sometimes sing in our hymn, my times are in thy hand. My God, I wish them there. David wishes that as well as knows that. And so it's a delightful truth. It shows the power of God as well, doesn't it? How great is the Lord? How great is the Lord? In that hand, all my times, all your times, all the times of every person that ever lived on the planet Earth, all in that hand. How great is it? How mighty is God? How High and lofty is the Holy One of Israel. How great is the Lord? Our lives, in every detail, even the very color of the tie you wear. Every detail. In God's hand. How great is that hand then? How large, how mighty. All in His hand. There's not an atom in the universe bombards our body, but it is in His hand. I think this also shows us the nearness of God. God is not a God afar off. He's a God near at hand. So near. So near. He's near me when I get up in the morning. He's near me when I get into the car to drive, because my times are in His hand, and that time of driving the car is in His hand, and it's all in His control. He's near. He is so near. This is what comforts David. He's surrounded by all his enemies, but he knows there's a hand near that's controlling everything. The near hand of God. Arranging things, ordering things, bringing everything across your path, sending the virus into your life. It's the hand of God. Sending the letter into your life, into your hand at the right time. Sending the word in season, in time, just at the right time. He knows how to give a word in season, because in His hands are those seasons. He knows all the times, because He's so near. That hand is so near. We need not fear the hand of man. I don't care what people think of me. Nor should you, child of God. Because there's a divine hand. And it protects us and preserves us and covers us. And it appoints everything that we shall have to meet. Even the enemies that we shall have to face. All in His hand. And then I think of the condescension. How great is God, the master of the universe? I'm sure the Lord is very busy in heaven, of heavens. I'm sure He's very busy with the angels and with all the vast, glorious creatures and with the church triumphant in glory. I'm sure He's very busy. But He condescends to hold your feeble little times in His hand. How good is the Lord? As well as so great, how good is He? Who humbleth Himself, the Bible says, to behold the things that are in heaven and in earth. He not only beholds, but takes a detailed interest in the most minute seasons of our life. Oh, the condescension of God. You know, I sometimes wonder how a big businessman with a multinational business throughout all the world, I wonder how he knows anything about the mail boy in one of the wee tiny shops in some corner of his multi-empire. He doesn't know anything about him. But you see, God, the little mail boy, the most humble servant in the most obscure part of His kingdom of grace, the most minute detail of that male boy's life is in that great God's hand. I think that's mind-boggling. I think that is wonderfully condescending on the part of the Lord. How good is the God we adore, our faithful, unchangeable friend, whose love is as great as His power. And so, it is condescending. And it shows us that nothing is left to chance. Write out of your vocabulary, child of God, the word luck. Write out of your vocabulary the word fortune. Don't even have it in your language. There is no luck in the universe. There is no fortune in the universe. There is no chance in the universe. And in that hand, there is not even accident, and there is not even mistake. All my times are in that hand. You're not a mistake. And what happens in your life is not a mistake. It's in His control. My times. I do not know what lies ahead, the way I cannot see. But one stands near to be my guide. He'll show the way to me. With God, things don't just happen. Everything by Him is planned. And because of this truth, David rests. Because of this truth, David is comforted. Because of this truth, David trusts. He trusts. You know, the context of this psalm, as I have said, is very instructive. It's about trouble and danger, and pitfalls and snares, and devilish devices, and many enemies about him. Verse 4, for example, pull me out of the net that they have laid privily for me. Here's people digging holes and laying nets quietly and secretly, wanting to catch him out. To catch him out in his words, wanting to trip him up. He's surrounded by devilish fools, malicious fools. You know, it's an awful thing to be a malicious man. If you are a malicious man, you are a child of the devil and not a child of God. David's surrounded by malicious men. Verse 9. Have mercy, O Lord, upon me, for I am in trouble. My eyes consumed with grief. My life is spent with grief. My years with sighing. My strength faileth. My bones are consumed. I'm not well, Lord. I'm a reproach to all mine enemies. He's in a pretty sad, despicable condition. He's in trouble. He's having a hard time. How does he cope? How does he cope? This is how he copes. He trusts in that hand my times. That's how he copes. And so he trusts. He trusts. You see there in verse 5, verse 1, in thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Verse 5, into thy hand I commit my spirit. That's trust. And then there again in verse 3. Thou art my rock, my fortress. That's the words of trust. And verse 6. I trust in the Lord. And then verse 14. But I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my God. My times are in thy hand. This is a psalm of trust. You see, this is why David can bless the Lord at all times. You have that in Psalm 34, verse 1. I will bless the Lord at all times. David, how can you do that? How can you do that at the time of separation from loved ones? How can you do that, David, whenever you get bad news? How can you do that? How can you bless the Lord at all times? How can you do it? This is how he does it. He knows this truth, in thy hand, my times, and he trusts. That's how he does it. Psalm 62, the verse 8. We read this wise advice. Trust in him at all times. All times. How can I do that? By knowing this, that whatever falls across my path is in that hand. And I can trust that hand. And I am glad that I can. And so, dear saint, You are reconciled to this hand through your Savior Jesus Christ. It is not against you. Praise the Lord. The hand of God is for you. If God be for us, who can be against us? It's for you. It's a loving hand. You're reconciled to it in your Redeemer, Jesus Christ. If you're not saved, if you're not saved today, I want to tell you this. Your times are still in that hand. But it is a hand against you. A hand against you. A hand that you are not reconciled to. A hand that you are at war with in your sin and enmity and in your rejection and unbelief of the gospel. Woe betide you if you fight against the hand of God. Woe betide you. Be reconciled to it then. Make peace with that hand through the blood of the cross of Jesus Christ. But for you, child of God, it is a hand reconciled. And you don't have to dread tomorrow. You don't have to dread tomorrow because it's in the Lord's hands. You don't have to fear next week because it's in the Lord's hands. You don't have to fear the future, child of God. It's in the Lord's hands. You don't even have to dread the last enemy, death, because he has the keys of death on his girdle. And one day he'll take it off and with his hand he'll open the gates of death and he'll bring you through. It's in his hand. Why should you fear that which your heavenly Father appoints? He will one day be pleased to bring you through the gates of death. Embrace it. Because it's his appointment. Anything our Father appoints for us, we can be glad with. So meditate on this text. Take it into your heart and thoughts. Take this word of truth and hold it, and you will get joy and courage and hope. And you will be able to face anything. And you will tread down your enemies. And you'll stamp on the devil's head. Knowing this, all my times are in thy hand. Let us pray. Our Father, bless the word preached. Manifest thy sovereign greatness unto us. Blind creatures, creatures of the night and of the darkness. Help us in that darkness to see the glory of a great and mighty God. And so bless thy people with this text. Those who have times and seasons of affliction to go through, by means of this, comfort them. Open the eyes of the blind too. Let them dread a hand of God to be against them and be reconciled to thee through Jesus Christ. Save sinners. Bless saints. But above everything else, exalt thy glorious name for Jesus' sake. Amen.